scripture reading from the New Testament, and the text of the sermon is from Luke chapter 5. If you'd like to turn over there to read along with me, you certainly may. Otherwise, just listen as I read the Word of God from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. We're still in the relatively early days of Jesus' ministry. He has not yet called all of the disciples, but now we have the account of him calling another one of his disciples, in this case Levi, aka Matthew. Pick up the reading at verse 27. Let us hear now the words of God. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi had a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray once more. Our Father and our God, we pray now that in this portion of our worship, when we listen to a sermon, that you would help us to listen closely to what your Spirit is saying to each one of us in the deepest places of our hearts. We pray that your word would be powerful and effective, life-giving, life-producing, fruit-bearing. Oh Lord, may our souls be fertile soil for your word, and pray that you would help me to speak, and all of these, my brothers and my sisters, to listen. And pray that your word would be precious food to us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. It was a story years ago of the president of France sitting up in his presidential home on a Christmas morning, looking out the window, and he sees some garbage collectors out gathering trash from around the street. And they're, of course, smelly and been working with garbage throughout the morning. And the president invited them up for his Christmas supper. That's the story. It's a true story that he invited these garbage men up on a Christmas morning to have a meal with him. I want to suggest to you that little story is a picture of what we're doing today. In fact, it's a picture in many ways of what is at the very essence of what we affirm and believe as Christian people, that God has been gracious, kind, and merciful, even though we are filthy in our sins, and invites us to his table in full acceptance, love, and grace. And that seems very much, is it not, at the essence of how we are even gathered here this morning, in response to a gracious invitation. It's also a picture, is it not, of how we are to interact with the world around us. Jesus' ministry was very much about this warm invitation for people whose lives were broken and messy and filthy, people who had been marginalized and downtrodden. This warm invitation, come and be at the table with me. A communication of grace and acceptance. And it's that grace that we are called to represent to the world that you will step out in after you leave this building. That world that you go back to on Monday morning of your school and your work and your home and where path leads you, that world where you live your life, that's the world where we are called to go forth, showing forth this kind of grace, the kind of grace that we have received and even rejoiced in this morning, as today we are called to the banqueting table of God Almighty. So, look at a couple of things in terms of our own call to be gracious and merciful to people outside the church. And then just 2 points today. The openness of grace, the closeness of law. And I should say, talking about law there, misunderstood as a law as a means of salvation, law as a means of justification. So let's look at that. Let's look at this together. So Levi is a tax collector sitting at his booth. Undoubtedly, he has heard some of the notoriety of Jesus. We get no indication that they have met. Both Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell this part of the story virtually the same way. The impression is given, Matthew's sitting at the table, Jesus comes up to him and says, "Follow me." Now this is a bit shocking in some ways and pretty amazing. First of all, tax collectors, of course they're not thought of real highly today, but back in Roman occupation times, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone lower on the totem pole in the minds of the people than a tax collector. These were typically Jewish men who had collaborated with the Romans. They would have been seen as traitors, having sold out to the very oppressor that dominated the people. And often for their own personal gain. So a tax collector actually had some freedom to tax as much as he wanted. He had a certain amount that the Romans required, but, you know, if he wanted to have a little more to pocket for himself, he had a great deal of freedom to do that. So they had this reputation of being dishonest, but they also had, you know, the power of Roman authority behind them to oppress. So these guys were traitors. The establishment, both religious and cultural establishment, would have looked at these guys and just said, "You guys are despicable. You guys are treasonous. You guys are trash. You guys are garbage." So get the picture now of Jesus unilaterally approaching this guy and saying, "Follow me." It doesn't appear there's any prior relationship. He just approaches him as he is, right? The guy has not repented yet. As he is, he comes and approaches him, first words, "Follow me. Follow me." I mean, do you hear the unilateral grace of that? Do you hear how grace precedes Levi's repentance? Now, he is going to repent, right? This notion, the description that he immediately drops everything, walks away from the table and follows Christ, does indicate that there's a change that goes on at that point, but that change is preceded by grace. "Hey, Levi, I want you. I want you on my side." This call that Levi would have heard to follow me, you hear the acceptance that carries with it. An acceptance and a love and a grace that sees beyond his garbage, sees beyond his sin, sees beyond his treason, sees beyond his brokenness, and loves him. Dear friends, that's the grace of God. If I were to ask you guys a question like this, if I asked you, what do you think when God thinks about your life right now, today? As God looks at you, what does he think about you? What does he think about your life that you're living? How does he evaluate you? Now, I'm guessing that a lot of you, the first thing you thought of was maybe something like, first thing God thinks of is disappointment. You know, kind of like God's shaking his head. You failure. What's wrong with you? Is that where your mind went? Kind of first thing? But you hear in this story is a picture of a God whose love and grace gets past all that. The first thing he communicates to Levi is acceptance, grace, mercy. Hey, Levi, follow me. Follow me. You hear that? And as receivers of this kind of grace, friends, this is what we're called to model to the world, right? We're called to live this kind of grace out in the people that we meet in our regular week. Think of the parable that Jesus communicated about the banqueting table, and the invitation goes out first to the in crowd. They don't want to come, and then he says, go out into the highways and byways and invite everybody to the banqueting hall. You hear the wideness and scope of the grace that says, whosoever, come, follow me. You hear the generosity of that grace. Friends, as we interact with non-Christian friends and neighbors, we're to reflect that. I mean, that we don't just approach them and see the first thing, their sin, and say, what's wrong with you non-Christians? What's your problem? You guys are so sinful. You're just stupid. I mean, I think often somebody like Levi, that's kind of how they envision religious people thinking of them. I don't look down on them. I mean, that's all Levi had known from the religious establishment, right? You loser, you compromiser, you disgust me. Jesus calls us to look, not to ignore sin, and not to say that sin isn't a significant issue, but to look, through it, to the person underneath, to the image bearer of God, to the person who is sick and needs a doctor, to a person who is valuable to God. And it's that very openness, that very showing of grace, that is the very thing that is used to draw somebody like Levi to Christ. In other words, Levi becomes open to Christ as he has first experienced Christ being open to him. Christ's openness to him opens up Levi. And he follows Christ. He follows Christ because he sees something in Christ, something in that acceptance, in that offer of grace, that to Levi is a deeper, more profound treasure than the money in his bucket at the table. In other words, what brings about his repentance is that he sees the greater treasure in Christ, in that offer of grace, in that offer of unconditional love and acceptance. That's the very thing that motivates and brings about his repentance. Telling Levi what a loser he was and how disgusting he was and how sin. I'm sure he had, like I said, heard that a lot. That had no effect in converting him or in drawing him to God. But the loving acceptance and grace of Christ, Levi, follow me, was life-changing to him. You see further Levi's openness now to Christ as he invites Jesus to his house to what's described as a great banquet. Now we get this picture of Levi's friends, his fellow tax collectors, his fellow seedy
type shadowy people, or the people that he hung out with, and people much like him, are gathered at Levi's house, gathered around the table, and there Jesus is eating and drinking with this group. I mean, what acceptance that would have communicated to the people at that table. I mean, at a minimum, these people would have understood Jesus as some kind of a man of God, right? They would have understood him as perhaps a prophet of some sort. They would have identified him with God as a godly man. And now this prophet, this godly man, sitting at the table with them, eating and drinking and talking and treating them like they're human beings. Like Levi, that's what opens these folks up to Jesus. That's why broken, sinful, sick people were drawn to Jesus, because they saw an amazing grace that they hadn't gotten from their leaders. I remember this image of the 2013 G8 summit. You know, this is where these 8 world leaders get together and they talk. And in 2013, Putin was the odd man out, right? He had been, this was largely in response to how he was responding to the crisis in Syria. And so he was the odd man out, and it's almost a pathetically funny picture of, they're at this lunch, it's outside, kind of a picnic-ish kind of a lunch, everybody has a plate and they're to sit down at a table, and you see this picture of Putin sitting all by himself with a bunch of empty chairs around him at a table, and all the other leaders are off at another table. And then, you know, he left early, and since that time it's been called the G7 summit. But the idea of, hey, you be at the table with me, I'll be at the table with you, I'll eat with you. Do you hear the amazing grace of that? We're gonna do this in a bit. It's a powerful picture, is it not? Of, hey, we're going to have a meal together. And in this meal and at this table, I love you, I accept you, I forgive you. I can look past all that you're not in grace. Okay, well, this doesn't go over real well with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The word Pharisee, as I've mentioned before, means separate, or they were called the separate ones. Well, man, this is like the polar opposite of being separate from sinners, to be eating at the table of sinners. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were the moral police. They were the separate ones. And they take great issue with the idea of Jesus eating at the table with these tax collectors. People that they would have said, you know, these are the very people that are messing us up. They're the very ones that are dragging us down. Oh, that more people could be like us, righteous and obedient. We take God seriously. Then maybe God would bless our nation. These are the very reasons why we're under Roman occupation, because these people have compromised their faith. These people are wicked, they're sinners, and they're traitors. You know, all that stuff. Jesus spoke his sharpest words to these Pharisees and teachers of the law. At one point, he refers to them as whitewashed sepulchers, right? Now, it's outwardly, you guys look all righteous and pure and holy, but inwardly, and kind of, and you're self-deceived about this, inwardly you're a mess. You're a sinful mess. And there's real danger about this kind of an approach to God. You know, thinking about this whole scandal with this Ashley Madison website, as time goes on, it's more and more clear that there are, what might say, highly moral people that are being exposed as being caught in this web. People who thought, I can
I can keep my inner world secret. As long as I sort of keep my outer world looking pure, isn't it interesting that often people who are the most verbally moral and seeking to keep themselves looking moral in the public, those who often squawk the loudest about, you know, how bad people are and how immoral everybody is and how you know, how disgusting our culture is and how we're all going downhill. Often the people that talk the loudest, like the Pharisees, often are the most conflicted. I suppose psychologists might give us some explanation of guilt transference. The things that they secretly desire are, and the things that they see people living out in the open, indulging in, they feel guilt about their own desires and therefore punish their own guilt by being harsh and punishing of those who are outwardly indulging in what they secretly desire to indulge in. I don't know. There's probably some truth to that. It's probably a better explanation is just good old-fashioned total depravity, right? I mean, this division of inner world and outer world, well, even Paul talks about his own struggles in Romans 7. But here's the deal with these guys. They're not being honest. They're not telling the truth with their lives. They're projecting themselves outwardly what they are not inwardly. And they're hypocrites because they're not telling the truth. And they're playing this game of not being authentic, not being real, not being honest, not only to God, but not being honest to themselves and not being honest to the people around them. And they are caught up in this game of hypocrisy and guilt manipulation and shifting and blame and addiction and self-loathing. And I think inwardly a kind of secret hatred of God. The sinners, on the other hand, like Levi and his friends, have no pretense of their own health. They know they're sick. It's evident that they are sinners. They know that they are not the righteous. They, at least, are honest to themselves about that. They know who they are. They acknowledge themselves to be sinners, and they're the ones that Jesus sits at the table with. Because Jesus said, it's not the healthy, the righteous, that need a doctor, but the sick. The sick are the people that he came for. It's the sick that are drawn to Jesus because they see in him a divine love that looks past their brokenness, that's forgiving and merciful. And the very prospect of that, the very vision of that, draws them to Christ. The very vision of that actually draws them away from the tax collecting booth. It draws them away from their idols. It draws them away from their secret addictions to power and control and pleasure and success. Dear friends, this is, as we live out in the world, the kind of faith we're to display to our friends and neighbors. Not of people who are faking it, who are putting on some righteous image, but of people who are genuine, of people who are honest about our own selves and our own sins. We're not coming across like we're superior, elitist, that non-Christians are people that we can look down and despise. At the end of the day, dear friends, to be a Christian is, as one person said, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Now, we stand on the same ground with non-Christians. as fellow sinners, fellow sick people in need of a physician. We have that in common with them. And this is the grace that we are called to manifest to our friends, to our co-workers, to our neighbors and family members. It's the grace we take to the world that we are called as garbage men. We've been a people called to the table. And that's glorious. And that's wonderful. And it changes our lives. And so, let us go forth into the world taking that grace with us. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that as we come to your table, may we experience something of what Levi experienced and his friends, of having you be at the table with us, and that you communicate to us in this table the grace and mercy which you've shown to us through your broken body and shed blood. And may this truly be a feast of rejoicing, celebration, as we are once again renewed and strengthened by the grace that is food for life for us. Oh Lord, bless now our time of worship as we celebrate you in the Lord's Supper. It's in your name we pray. Amen.